Rolling right along here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, Andy Bulbarch and Rocco Nucci with you. And it's time now for us to take our weekly trip to Planet Golf as we welcome in Guy Cipriano, the editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine. Guy, always a pleasure to have you on. How are you this afternoon?
Doing great, Bull. I hope you and your listeners are doing well, and I hope that a lot of your listeners are going out and playing golf. We're going to have a big dry stretch here, not a lot of rain, so it'll be good golf weather. And if you've never played golf before, go out and give it a try.
Yeah, this weekend, the holiday weekend, a lot of people getting a few extra days off, a golden opportunity to do that for sure. Well, today we're going to talk about some new rules and regulations in place for a TV deal. We'll get into the Travelers Championship with Dustin Johnson extending a pretty impressive streak. And then we'll take a look at what's going on this weekend at the Detroit Golf Club with the Rocket Mortgage Classic. But, Guy, let's begin with the news that came down on Monday with the USGA TV rights shifting from Fox to NBC and the Golf Channel. The financial terms of the transaction were not 100% disclosed, but NBC will assume the remainder of the contract through at least 2026. On the surface, Guy, this sure looks like it's a very good thing for golf, isn't it?
Yep, it'll be back on NBC, which a lot of us that came of golf age in the 1990s can remember when NBC picked up the U.S. Open and Dan Hicks and Johnny Miller started doing it, and the awesome theme music they had and some of the great championships that they had, especially when Tiger Woods was making his U.S. Open appearances, first appearances, and winning tournaments. And yeah, this is something that really nobody saw coming. Fox was had a long deal, a 12-year deal that was worth over $1 billion, and they were in the seventh year of that deal. Well, they showed U.S. Opens in 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, so it would have been the sixth U.S. Open on Fox, and this really came out of nowhere when the news broke Sunday night, and it'll be great for the golf fan because with NBC, you get the Golf Channel, too. They're both part of the NBC brand, and the Golf Channel is not only getting the U.S. Open, they're getting all the USGA property, so you're going to be seeing even more golf, live golf on the Golf Channel, and it's just not the U.S. Open here at Bull. There's so many other events that the USGA runs, including the U.S. Women's Open, the U.S. Amateur, the U.S. Senior Open, so not only will it be easier to find the U.S. Open, and there'll be more awareness around it because people watch the Golf Channel year-round solely for golf events and content, but it'll be these other events that are really helped in, and they'll be easier to find than when they were on Fox, where Fox, the only golf that the network broadcast, were these USGA events.
Now, taking a look at the way each network covers golf and the different kinds of technologies that are used as well, the coverage is slightly different, and I personally enjoy the coverage I get from NBC and the Golf Channel and CBS as well, but is there anything that you think in particular Fox did that the other networks didn't necessarily get into?
Well, they started immediately at Chambers Bay in 2015. I would say the shot tracer technology, Fox really amped that up, and that's a cool way to tell where all shots are going to go, but especially drives, and that makes it easier for the viewer to follow the golf ball. And Fox also did a nice job with audio. Their announcers got out of the way sometimes, and you were able to pick up more of those on-course conversations between players and caddies and even players with other players. And Fox also had some good voices, and hopefully there's room for them at NBC Golf Channel or even CBS. I know times are tight in the media world, and it's not the easiest time to justify adding more on-air talent, but you know, Fox had some really good golf announcers. I mean, Shane Bacon is a young, emerging play-by-play talent, and hopefully there's a spot found for him. Brad Faxon did some nice work as an analyst. And then one of the cool things, you know, for a golf geek like me and someone that deals with golf course maintenance and construction and design, it was cool that Fox brought golf course architect Gil Hance on the broadcast to describe how the golf courses were designed and how some of those design decisions affected how the rounds were played. So hopefully some of that talent can go over to the Golf Channel NBC. It's kind of odd because Golf Channel is moving its headquarters from Orlando into the NBC headquarters in Connecticut, and the Golf Channel just recently announced some layoffs, and then here NBC is spending tens of millions of dollars to pick up the U.S. Open rights, and they really got a bargain because they got it for about what they were paying for it before it went to Fox in 2015, and Fox is picking up the remainder of that contract. So basically the the Golf Channel NBC got a heck of a deal on this, but it comes at a time where there were just layoffs at the Golf Channel. So some crazy stuff in the sports media world. And this will probably be, you know, one of many big sports media announcements that we hear over the next few months, just not golf related.
Well, I agree with that 100%. Well, taking a look back at what happened this week, recapping the Travelers Championship, Dustin Johnson extended his streak to 13 straight seasons now with at least one win on the tour. Guy, he's now in some very, very exclusive company, and he played really well this weekend.
Yep, 13 straight seasons with a win. Jack Nicklaus holds the PGA Tour record. Jack Nicklaus went 17 straight seasons with winning a tournament. How incredible is that? And then Tiger Woods went 14 straight seasons with winning a tournament. So Dustin Johnson is only 1 year behind Tiger in that category. He's only 36 years old. He's in great physical condition. He's probably as physically talented as anybody out there. And this looks like a streak that could really maybe even approach Jack's record as 17 straight seasons. I wouldn't even say Dustin Johnson had his A game last week at TPC River Highlands. He made some big mistakes down the stretch, but still won by a shot over Kevin Streelman. And Dustin Johnson had not been playing that well this season. He only had one top 10 here in 2020 on the PGA Tour and had not won for more than 16 months anywhere in the world. So I wouldn't say he came out of nowhere. Dustin Johnson's a candidate to win whenever he's teeing it up, but there were some questions about how he was playing and his consistency level, and all those were erased with a win. And this is a player that appears to have a lot left in the tank. He's 36 years old. He certainly doesn't look like that or even perform like that. You very rarely hear him get an injury. You very rarely see him limping around. And he's a player that's come close in a lot of big tournaments. And, you know, he won the U.S. Open at Oakmont in 2016, which was the second U.S. Open on Fox. And this is somebody that should have won more major championships when you look back at some of the misses. And it's kind of like when you think of Dustin Johnson's career, sometimes you think about the big tournaments that he got away instead of the fact that he's got 21 PGA Tour wins and has won 13 straight seasons in a row. But that was I would say he probably had his B game at TPC River Highlands and still won the tournament at 19 under.
Says a lot about just how incredibly talented he is. There's no doubt about that. Again, Guy Cipriano, editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, we're looking at back-to-back weekends now with some really, really low scores. And some people are looking at that and trying to find the particular reason behind that. What do you think the specific reason for that might be? Why have these scores been so low these last couple weeks?
Yeah, so Webb Simpson won the RBC Heritage at 22 under, and then we just said Dustin Johnson won the Travelers Championship at 19 under. And in my mind, Bull, there are a few things at play. First off, the quality of the fields. The Travelers and RBC Heritage, and then if you even go a week back to the Charles Schwab Challenge, these events have had the best field in their history because the PGA Tour had been off for 3 months, and all the players were itching to get back, so you had most of the top 20 players in the world at all three of those stops. So when you have great players play a regular season PGA Tour course that isn't set up for a major championship, you're gonna in many cases have low numbers just because of the talented fields that are there. I would say another thing is that both the RBC Heritage and the Travelers Championship had some weather delays over the weekend, and they had some soggy weather. So when a golf course gets soggy, that gives players an opportunity to attack pins more, and they can also be a little more aggressive off the tee without the ball rolling off fairway. So I would say the combination of the great fields and some weekend soggy weather has led to these low scores. And I would also say that the course setups have been conservative. They haven't been major championship green firmness or rough length. So there's a lot of things at play here. And it's crazy. You know, here we are talking about DJ going 19 under at TPC River Highlands and then Webb Simpson going 22 under at Harbortown. And Bull, remember when we were doing these segments back in March? I looked at this today. So the last tournament before the PGA Tour was suspended because of COVID-19 was at Bay Hill, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and Tyrrell Hatton won that at 4 under. Remember how windy it was and balls were rolling all over the place? And then the week before that, Sung J.M. won the Honda Classic at just 5 under. So 4 under was just on the cut line this past week at TPC River Highlands. I mean, I picked Bubba Watson to win last week, and he shot 3 under for 2 rounds and didn't even make the cut. So, yeah, it's quite a contrast from the scoring that we saw before this COVID-19 suspension of play.
Wow, what a difference. And that really puts it all into perspective. But that's just incredible, showing just how much the scores have certainly changed. Well, looking ahead to this weekend, the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. Guy, what do we know about the Detroit Golf Club?
This is only the second year that the Detroit Golf Club has hosted a PGA Tour event. This was a new addition to the 2019 golf schedule. Unfortunately, there was an opportunity to keep the slot here in 2020. There were some questions whether it was going to happen because Michigan was one of the last states to allow golf to be played during the COVID-19 shutdown. So people are wondering, would this event actually get played? It's great for golf that it is being played, and it's great for golf in Michigan, which has the third most golf courses in the United States, that they're able to host their PGA Tour event. Of course, there won't be fans there, but the Detroit Golf Club is a 36-hole facility. The courses opened in 1916, and they were designed by Donald Ross, who is one of the legendary Golden Age architects. He's got great golf courses all over the country, including some in Northeast Ohio, such as Manikiki and Brookside and Canton and Shaker Heights Country Club. And some of his courses in Northeast Ohio, people might have remembered Acacia Country Club and Hawthorne Valley and Oakwood don't even exist anymore. But yeah, he's a legendary golf course architect, worked all over the country and in the Midwest. And the golf course has been modernized a bit. It's been stretched to 7,340 yards. The greens, this is something fascinating. When I was doing my research with the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, puts out some great fact sheets every week, and the greens are going to be mowed at 0.085 inches. I don't think anyone's lawnmower at home is going that low. They're bent grass, Poa Annua, and the superintendent's Jake Mendoza. So this is a classic golf course that's been modernized with bunkers in different places and some yardage extended. And, of course, the mowing heights are today's mowing heights, not what they were mowing when Donald Ross designed it in 1916. So it made its PGA Tour debut, and you talk about low numbers. Nate Lashley won the tournament last year at 25 under par for the 4 days, and that was the first time the PGA Tour had ever used that course. So usually the first time they use a golf course, they set it up a little more conservatively. So it's a new addition to the schedule, like I said, but it's played on a very old golf course. And how funny is this? In his pre-tournament news conference this week, they asked Bryson DeChambeau about the golf course, and a lot of the bunkers are 290 yards, and they asked Bryson DeChambeau about that, and he said, "Sorry, Mr. Ross," referring to Donald Ross, "but it is what it is." Basically, Bryson DeChambeau is calling out somebody that is one of the great golf course architects of all time, saying that your design can't withstand what people like myself put on it right now.
Well, yeah, because for a guy who's put on 40 pounds over the last few months, and he is just absolutely killing the ball right now, 290 is just a sneeze for him. And, because of the way this plays, you had talked about the total yardage there a few moments ago, and one of the holes that really stands out when you're looking hole by hole in the scorecard, how about the fourth hole? A 635-yard par 5. I mean, that's just a monster of a hole.
Yeah, when we talk about long par fives, and for local golf fans, they probably know the 16th hole at Firestone Country Club that's over 600 yards, and those numbers sound astronomical, right, Bull, to the average golfer like you and I and most of your listeners out there. But when we talk about Bryson DeChambeau, and I believe he's averaging over 325 yards a drive this year on the PGA Tour, and then you think, well, 630, get some dry weather and the ball is going to be jumping because the temperature should be in the 90s all 4 days in Detroit with the highs, and the turf gets a little bit firm on the fairways, and 635 isn't what 635 yards used to be, so that'll be a fun hole to watch. Unfortunately, it's just the fourth hole, right? So when you're watching on the weekend on CBS and it's coming down the stretch, you're not going to really see that hole make a difference in the tournament. It'll make a difference, but it just won't be one of those holes on TV that you see down the stretch and wonder what the possibilities are. That's kind of what made that's what makes the 16th hole at Firestone such a great par 5. It's guarded by a pond, and it's the 16th hole at Firestone Country Club where every big event imaginable has been played. But no, that's going to be a fun thing to see, and Bryson DeChambeau, and I'm sure some other players will probably give it a cracking too.
Well, he's one of the names that pops up when you take a look at a course like this, just because he can hit it as far as he can hit it. Who else really stands out in the field this week? Now, I was taking a look at it earlier and haven't seen any updates over the last hour or so, but are there some other names on this list that really kind of stand out? It doesn't seem like there will be as many huge names at this event as there were last weekend.
No, it's still a really good field, and I was thinking about this today. You know, the fields the last 3 weeks have been so good, and they've basically been major championship caliber fields that, you know, there was going to be a letdown at some point. But if this is the letdown in terms of a field, and you know, here we are in July, and sometimes the fields in July between the U.S. Open and the Open Championship overseas aren't the best fields in a regular PGA Tour season. But you know, if this is not a great field, then boy, we're in for a special summer, because you still have Bryson DeChambeau, who you mentioned, who's the odds-on favorite. You have Webb Simpson, who won 2 weeks ago and has won a major championship and didn't play last week. Patrick Reed's in this tournament. Tyrrell Hatton, who won at Bay Hill earlier this year. Hideki Matsuyama, Ricky Fowler, Bubba Watson, Jason Day. In fact, there are 11 major champions in the field. So if this was just a normal PGA Tour season midsummer event and it had this type of field, you'd be like, oh, that's a pretty darn good field. I'm going to tune into this one. But with what we're seeing this year, with especially since the restart, with the great fields the last 3 weeks, and I suspect that with playing back-to-back weeks at Muirfield Village after this, there are going to be some great fields there. I think players were looking at the schedule saying, hey, this is a week to take off, and then I can go back to the Muirfield Village and be in a safe zone in Dublin, Ohio for 2 weeks and play that awesome golf course. So it's still a fabulous field, and it's going to be a fun tournament to watch. You know, second year doing it, and to me, there's a player that I think has a really good chance of winning.
Who would that be? I knew
you were going to put me on the spot.
Well, I had to, because a couple of weeks ago, I mean, you just threw down a slam dunk when you mentioned Webb Simpson. And then last week you may have swung and missed a little bit with Bubba Watson, but we can't expect you to get all these right.
No, just like you couldn't expect Tiger to win every tournament in his prime, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
Golf's a tougher sport. It's just not two people competing against each other or two teams. To me, I think the favorite this week isn't Bryson DeChambeau, even though he has the best betting odds at this point. I would say Patrick Reed Bull is somebody to really watch. He is number 7 in the world golf rankings right now, and it's kind of funny because when he won his first really big tournament, it was the 2014 World Golf Championship Cadillac event at Doral. Patrick Reed went on TV and said, I'm a top 5 player in the world, and he's been kind of made fun of since then, because he certainly doesn't have the profile that he has now. He had not won the Masters at the time. He didn't have nearly as many PGA Tour wins, and you know, the joke was always, it's Patrick, top 5 Reed. Well, if he wins this week at Detroit Golf Club, which I'm picking him to do, he will become a top 5 player in the world finally. He's got up as high as number 6. He's number 7 right now. Since the restart, he was 7th at Colonial, missed a cut at Harbortown, and then 24th last week. He won the World Golf Championship in Mexico earlier this year, so he's been playing well this season. And then last year, he was tied for 5th at the inaugural Rocket Mortgage Classic. He went 68, 68, 65, 70 at Detroit Golf Club, so he's already proven that he can go low there. And that's somebody that I'm really going to watch this week. I know he's not the most popular player on the tour. He's kind of one of the PGA Tour's villains. He's kind of in that Bryson DeChambeau, Bubba Watson mold, but I think this is a player too that can benefit without fans being on the golf course, because let's face it, I mean, Patrick Reed's one of the most heckled players in the world, and well, there are no hecklers there right now, so he should really be focused. And this is somebody, because of his success there last year, tied for 5th, going 15 under, that I really think has a great chance of winning this week. And he is one of the premier players in the field anyway.
Well, certainly looking forward to it this weekend. Guy, we always appreciate the time. We thank you so much for stopping by. Have a great holiday weekend, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Thanks, Bull, and I hope everyone enjoys the 4th.
Thank you very much, Guy. Again, that's Guy Cipriano, editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's take a break. We will return right after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.